This is the Soulful BR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 248.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to promote your live events on social media. But before we dig into the content, I do want to give you a reality check. So social media is great for generating a buzz about your live events. It's great for getting people talking, starting conversations, but it's not going to sell all of your tickets for you. If you really want to shift tickets for a live event, then email marketing is where it's at. And the reason I start by saying this is because I do speak to a lot of small business owners who tell me that they've got a live event coming up and they are expecting that they're going to be able to actually sell tickets on social media. And in reality, and this comes from 10 years or more of running live events, in reality, you're not going to sell many tickets on social media. Social media is the place where you're going to remind people. You might give them that nudge that they need to go off and book their ticket. But if you really want to shift tickets for a live event, then email marketing is where it's at. That's why it's so, so important that you have an email list. So I'm going to share my best tips with you about promoting your event on social media and also more broadly than that. But I did just want to start with that reality check. You do need to be thinking about email marketing and taking that really seriously if you are serious about live events. So my first tip is to start early. So I speak to a lot of small business owners and they might be 4 or 6 weeks away from a live event. They say, I haven't really started to sell the tickets yet. Have you got any tips? My first tip would be you really should have started earlier. So as a general rule of thumb, I would say you need to be putting your tickets on sale, even for a small workshop, at least 90 days out. People are busy. They're often already booked up 3 to 6 months in advance. They may need to organise childcare. They may need to organise travel, depending on what it is that you're putting on. And you'd be surprised actually how far ahead people get booked up. So I would say at the very, very minimum, 90 days is when you need to start promoting it. But actually, I would say start a lot earlier if you can. So just to give you an example, so Media Influence Live, which is the live event that I'm running in the summer. So that's July 5th and 6th, 2018, if you're listening in the future. So I actually started marketing that event last year. So I started marketing it just after we'd had the event last year. So just to give you a bit of background, this is my live event where I get 80 small business owners in a room for the day with eight, actually it's 10 now, high profile journalists and influencers. And so they're from the likes of The Guardian, the BBC, ITV, Grazia magazine, The Sun's Fabulous magazine. And basically they come along and they talk about what they're looking for in a story, what they're not looking for, how to pitch, how to get in touch. I've been running this event in various formats for quite a few years now. And last year it was known as Soulful PR Live, and I've just changed the name to Media Influence Live. And if you want to know why I've changed the name, then go back and have a listen to episode 244 because I explain it then. But what happened after last year's event, Soulful PR Live, it's a very similar event. The format is very similar. I've just made some changes and changed the name. But I created quite a lot of content, which was really about promoting this year's event. So, for example, I did a really lengthy roundup and review of the event with loads of photos and videos and testimonials. So I've been using that content ever since last summer. I also got my videographer to create a trailer of the event with some testimonials. And funnily enough, I've just sent off to Fiverr, that's a little tip for you if you're looking to get small jobs, things like video editing done. I've just sent off that trailer to somebody on Fiverr, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes to get little testimonials taken out of that trailer so that I can use those on social media. So I also encourage my delegates to write follow-up blog posts as well about their experience of last year. And I'll tell you more about that as we go. But basically, I actually started to promote this year's event at last year's event. The other thing that you're doing as well, if you're marketing really effectively, is that you are marketing to next year's ticket buyers at your current event, because people will see all the buzz about it on social media and they'll be like, oh, I didn't make it along this year. I really have to make it along next time she runs this event. So remember that your marketing for your live event, it should start well before that 90-day mark if you can. Obviously, if you're just starting out, then that's a little bit more challenging. But if you're already running events, then you should be thinking about promoting your next event at your existing event or an event that you're running today, basically. So I'd say a minimum of 90 days out. So one other thing that we did in January for Media Influence Live is we put out a call for speakers. So that was genuinely because we were looking to see if there was any talent that we could book to speak at the events of people that we didn't know about already. And I did get one speaker from that call for speakers. But also that's a great way to raise awareness of your event to people who might want to attend. So some of the people who applied to speak at Media Influence Live, they're not yet ready to speak at that kind of event, I don't think. But actually might want to come along as a delegate and get a lot of value out of it and learn more about the event, maybe to possibly pitch to speak at the event in the future. So the more information that you've got out there about your event, the more buzz there is going on about your event. And certainly my call for speakers, it did create a lot of buzz. And I did get some very interesting applications through. And as I say, I did manage to find one new speaker, which I was really, really happy about. But that in itself creates buzz and gets people talking about your event well before the tickets go on sale. Now, from that call for speakers, we were able to start our waiting list, which leads me on to my next point. So you do need to start promoting well before your tickets even go on sale. So the kind of situation you want to create is that when your ticket sales open, people already know about the event, they're already excited about it, and they're saying things like, where do I buy my ticket? Where's the sales page? So this is the kind of situation that you want to get people in. You don't just want to suddenly send them an email out of the blue saying, oh, do you want to come to my live event? So you want to get people excited and create some anticipation before those tickets go on sale. So I've already mentioned that at last year's Soulful PR Live, so the event was called Soulful PR Live last year, it's now called Media Influence Live. I was collecting content that I knew I would be able to use to promote this year's event. So photographs, video, getting delegates to blog about the event. So that's, you know, I started promoting this one well before the tickets went on sale. But other things I was doing in my Facebook group over the last few months before the tickets went on sale, I was sharing bits of artwork. I actually made a post about the fact that I was changing the name of the event and asked people if they were interested in knowing why. So we got a bit of conversation going there. I also made quite a big post in my Facebook group a little while back where I talked about how I felt that the focus of my business was changing and I might be changing some of the titles of my events and some of my other things that I do in my business. And that got a really, really very, very animated conversation going in my Facebook group where people were giving me feedback about my business and my current products and services. And all of that, again, I think was kind of working up to Media Influence Live. I then put on sale tickets for a new event with a new format for my event with a new name, with new branding. So all of that was building up in the conversations in my Facebook group well before the tickets went on sale. And you can get into your own Facebook group if you have one. Or you can get on Twitter or LinkedIn or wherever it is you hang out online. You can start sharing logos, you can start sharing pictures, you can start sharing parts of your sales page or sales copy. I actually went into my Facebook group and shared some of the sales copy and asked people to give me feedback, what questions that they have on the back of the sales copy. So before those tickets went on sale, people already knew about the event. They were already getting a little bit curious. So when the email went out to the first batch of people, I'll talk more about that in a second, it wasn't new to them. It wasn't like I was telling them about something they hadn't heard before. So we created a waiting list. So we used the landing page software Lead Pages to collect email addresses of people who said that they were interested in booking an event and being the first to hear about tickets going on sale. And of course, you want to reward people for going on your waiting list. So what we did is we came up with a special offer on the ticket prize that was only offered to people who were on the waiting list. And also, we created some scarcity around that. Now, you'll know this yourself, but I think most of us as buyers, often we need a little bit of encouragement to make a decision. We will procrastinate. We will sit on the fence unless somebody says to us, look, you've got 48 hours, you've got 72 hours or something like that to make a decision. We will procrastinate. So I think building that into your ticket sale, so putting them on sale just to people on your waiting list or just for people in your membership community or just for your priority bookers, and then saying, but you've got 48 hours or 72 hours or whatever to use this discount code, then that actually forces people to make a decision. I think most of us, we don't mean to, but we say, oh, I'll look at that later or I'll deal with that later. And actually, if you want to sell tickets for your event, you do need to encourage people to make a decision and not sit on the fence. So the third tip I would share with you is to create a conversation about your event. So don't sell. So I know from years of running events that when I put out a social media post which says, hey, do you want to come to my live event? I might get a couple of clicks, I might get a couple of likes, I might get a couple of comments. When I start a conversation, so when I say something like, do you like to have a free lunch at an event that you attend, or would you rather buy your own, or what kind of goodie bags do you like, or what are the favorite things that you've ever had in a goodie bag? When I start conversations about events or things that are happening at my event, then I get much better engagement. So I would really encourage you to think differently about how you're promoting your event on social media. Yes, there is room for straight posts where you're just saying, hey, here's my event and here's where to buy a ticket, but actually what works much better in terms of engagement and curiosity is to start a conversation. So to ask people, you know, what's their favorite event that they've been to recently? Why did they like it? What do they like to see in a goodie bag at an event? What's the best lunch they've ever had at an event or whatever? Just get people talking about events. And not only will you get ideas for your event, but you'll also be able to kind of jump in and say, oh, by the way, you said that you were interested in this and this is what we cover in my event. It does work much better, I promise. So the kind of things that we've done for my events is I've asked questions like, do you expect speakers to be paid? I've been asking that over on Instagram. I do pay all my speakers at my event, but I know as a speaker that myself, that I think lots of event organisers will do anything they can basically not to pay their speakers. And it really interests me, that topic, and it interests other people as well. So I've been asking that on Instagram this week, and that's given me a chance to flag up the fact I've got an event coming up. And things like, you know, do you like to buy your own lunch at an event, or do you prefer lunch to be provided, that kind of thing. That gets people going. It's something that people care about and they've often got an opinion about. And I think when it comes to any social media content, the more that you can think, how can I get people to talk about the topic that I want them to talk about without making it about me, actually about making it about them. People love sharing their stories, their experiences, their opinions. So that's the kind of content that tends to work much, much better. And you can do all of this in Facebook groups, your own, if you run your own Facebook group, your own Twitter chat, if you have one, or if it's relevant and if it's okay with the person who runs the group, you can get that sort of conversation going. You know, you can get in Facebook groups and say, look, you know, I'm running a live event. I've always offered a free lunch in the past, but actually some delegates are telling me they'd rather have this instead. What do you think? You know, there's all sorts of ways that you can get people talking about events. And then, you know, people get to know that you're running an event because you're talking about it, you're asking questions about it, and, you know, you're learning some useful stuff as you go along. So creating scarcity is a really, really good idea. As I've mentioned, we sat down well ahead of the tickets going on sale and mapped out the different tiers for our, we did this actually in December last year. We mapped out what the ticket prices were going to be, what the early bird was going to be, what the super early bird was going to be, when the pricing was going to change, how long we were going to offer certain prices for, because people do need encouragement to make a decision. They will just sit on the fence. And I think sometimes we can feel like we're being spammy when we introduce scarcity and, you know, we're being pushy. But actually what we're doing, you know, this is how I see it, is you're helping people to make a decision and to stop sitting on the fence. That decision might be not to buy a ticket to your event or not to buy it at this particular time, but at least they've made a decision. And I think people appreciate that. If you're going to offer scarcity, I'd say, though, is that you have to stick to what you've said. So we often have a scenario where actually it happened this time round, where we issued a discount code for super early bird tickets, and people who are on our waiting list, we offered a special discount for them. But we said it's only available for, I think it was 72 hours. And we sent follow-up emails to remind people. But we still got a few people who emailed afterwards and said, oh, I'm really sorry, I missed this. Is there any chance that you could just open the discount up for me? Is there any chance you could just create a new discount code for me? And although it's hard because you're potentially turning away a potential customer, I think you have to say no. And I think the reason you have to say no is because your responsibility has to be towards the people who've already booked, they're already your customers. And how, just imagine how you would feel. So you go along to a live event, you sit down, you pay full price for your ticket, but the person next to you has managed to wangle themselves some kind of discount and they came along after you, they booked their ticket after you. You're going to feel a little bit peeved about that. So I think it's really important that if you are offering scarcity and you are offering discounts for people who book within a certain time, that you stick to your guns and you don't let people sway you about that. It's really about your integrity and being fair and honest with everybody who wants to come to your event. So my next tip would be not to rely on your speakers to promote your event for you. So this is a mistake I see lots of event organizers making. And actually, it can make you feel a little bit used as a speaker. So what's happened to me quite a few times is I've been booked to speak at an event and I've agreed to speak at the event. We've agreed the fee or the terms or the travel expenses or whatever arrangement that we've got. And then I get an email saying, please, could you send an email to your list? Or please, could you make X number of tweets or Facebook posts about this event? And I'm like, no, I can't do that. That wasn't in the agreement. Now, if you follow me on social media, you'll know that I love speaking at events and I will naturally always share photos and video and thoughts about events that I'm speaking at. And I will do that as a matter of course, but I hope it comes across as really natural and organic. It's just me sharing my experience because I think that's actually better content. But what I won't do is send out tweets on demand for event organisers because that's not what you want to see. If you're following me on social media, you don't want to see automated tweets that somebody else has written or automated pictures someone else has written about an event I'm speaking at, and I have to kind of respect that. The other thing as well is people sometimes book me to speak at events and then they'll say, please, can you email your list about it? Well, I can't do that because, you know, it's taken me a lot of time and money and energy to build up my email list. And I have to be respectful about that list. And I've got my own events, my own products and services I need to promote. So if I suddenly just send out an email about an event that I'm speaking at, then that may not be relevant to you. And you may feel that the email list is no longer relevant to you. You might unsubscribe from my list, and that's not what I want. But also, I think if you want that kind of service from your speakers, I think you have to be prepared to pay for it. So I've only done it once, I think, but there was one particular occasion where there was an organization that really wanted to get in front of my email list. There was some synergy there, and it was a paid deal, and it was very, very clearly labeled as such that they created some content that they thought would be useful to my email list, and it was labeled up and branded as that, and everybody was clear about what was going on, and they paid for that opportunity. But I don't think you can expect your speakers just to email their list about an event, particularly if they have a large list that they've spent years building up and time and money and effort. You just can't expect that. You have to use your own marketing resources. Now, that's not to say that you can't email your speakers and say, look, I've created these pictures. If you want to use them, here's some tweets that you can use. If you want to, you have to, you know, make it easy for them. And if somebody sends me some pictures, some branded pictures for an event that I'm speaking at, then I generally will use them, but I would write my own tweets, write my own copy and make it my own. And it can make life a little bit easier if you do that, but no expectations. It's not fair for you to expect your speakers to do a certain number of tweets or posts unless you've agreed it and, quite frankly, you're paying them for it. You can't expect that at all. You need to rely on your own resources. So my next tip is to create some kind of launch event. So one thing that you can do when you put your tickets on sale is to launch with a webinar or a live challenge or a masterclass or something like that. That can be a really great way, and obviously offer that for free. Really great way to gather the right kind of people around you. So in the past, I've done live webinars where I've gathered people who are really interested in the topic of the event. So I've picked a topic that's really relevant to the event and it's kind of like a naturally a good fit. I've got people on a webinar, and then while they've been on the webinar, I've been like, hey, I've got this really great event coming up and I just want to let you know about it. And if you book by the end of today, or if you book in the next 24, 48 hours, you're actually going to get a special price on this. That's normally what people want with events or some kind of preferential booking or access to VIP tickets or something like that. That can work really, really well. My next tip would be to create content that addresses people's objections and have that ready up front. So one thing that I've learned over the years is it doesn't matter how hard you work on your sales page, it doesn't matter how hard you work on your email marketing copy, people always have questions and there will always be things that people don't understand. And sometimes they will jump to the wrong conclusions about your event. They might decide that your event is not for them for reasons that are only known to them and seem a bit wild to you. You can't understand, you know, why they don't think your event is right for them, but they've kind of read something or seen something that's made them kind of jump to the wrong conclusion. So I think that the more content that you've created up front that addresses people's objections, and or people will email you and say, I'd like to come to your event, but I can't afford it right now. There's going to be lots of objections. And I think if you've created content that addresses those, then that's going to save you time. But also I think people are quite impressed by that. If they get in touch with you with an objection, you say, well, actually, I've created a blog post about this or created some content you can read about this, then actually, you know, that shows that you really care about your event, you care about your customers, you really thought about everything. And also it helps you get found in Google search. So I have created a series of blog posts about Media Influence Live. So I've got one which is on 8 reasons to attend Media Influence Live. I think it's 8 reasons. I'll link to it in the show notes. I've got a blog post on reasons not to attend Media Influence Live. I've also got blog posts on what to do if you want to event. I've also got blog posts on what to do if you want to attend a live event and you haven't got the budget. So with tips on how to actually get the budget together to attend something. I've recently created a blog post on how I chose the speakers for Media Influence Live. And what all of this is doing is it's helping you to get found in Google. So anytime that anyone searches up Media Influence Live, I did it before I got onto this podcast recording, they're going to find not just the sales page, but they're also going to find this useful content. So they're going to find reasons they should come to the event, reasons they shouldn't come to the event, what to do if they want to attend Media Influence Live, but they don't have the money, how I chose the speakers. They're going to find all of this additional content that is going to help answer their questions about the event. Another really useful blog post that I have put together is what it's like to attend a Janet Murray event. And I've got pictures, I've got a description of how the event normally runs. Because I think the thing with events is that people, because they can't see it, they haven't experienced it before, they're a bit unsure. And even if you've got on your sales page, like what the timings are, where it is, and what will happen during the day, like I've actually got on the sales page for Media Influence Live, I've got a detailed breakdown of what's going to happen in each session. But people, they just don't read stuff, to be quite honest. And they'll email you back with a question that's already on your sales page. It's already in your frequently asked questions. And I think you can sort of feel a little bit impatient about this, or you can go back to them and say, well, do you know what? I've created this really great blog post, which shows you what it's like to be at the event. It does answer your question. So have a look at point 7. And people find that really useful. They love seeing the pictures. They love seeing the video. But unless you're in dialogue with them, they may not necessarily see that content. So having as many pieces of content ready to answer your customers' questions. I've lost count of the amount of times that people have said to me, I was on the fence about coming to your event. And then I saw that you'd created a blog post about my objection. Or then I saw that you created a really helpful blog post for delegates on how to prepare for the event. And I thought, do you know what? This seems like a really great event. It seems like she's really organized, and it seems like, you know, I'm going to get well looked after here. And people have told me that loads of times, that content has been the sort of tipping point for them. So my next tip would be to always create media content or content about the event that isn't about you. I've touched on this already, but it's actually adding value to your prospective customers. So just to give you an example, I've recently created a blog post on how I chose the speakers for Media Influence Live, and that's getting quite a lot of interest on social media at the moment. And, you know, I'm not expecting it to make ticket sales for me, but it's just raising that awareness and getting people talking about the event. So this blog post works well on a number of levels. So first off, it's a useful piece of content for people who want to get booked to speak at events. So I know that a lot of you are interested in speaking and are wondering, you know, what's the best way to get an event organizer's attention? And I'll link to this blog post in the show notes. So I've actually gone through each speaker and I've explained how I found them, how I know them, if I knew them already, and what I really like about them, what made me book them. So I feel like that's a really useful piece of content for you. If you're somebody who is interested in getting booked more as a speaker, it's actually a really helpful piece of content for you, so you can really understand what goes on in an event organizer's head. And I sent that out as a piece of email marketing for my event a few days ago. I got quite a few emails back from people saying, thank you for that. That's really helped crystallize a few things for me. So try and think about how you can create valuable content that allows you to talk about your event. So it's almost like you're looking at it the other way around. So instead of creating content about your event, you're creating valuable content that allows you to talk about your event. That is quite a different thing. And the other great thing about that piece of content as well is that it mentions all the speakers, and it says in, you know, why I like each of the speakers. So obviously I've shared that with them on Twitter, on Instagram. I'm going to email them about it as well, because I know people are busy. And I've already had a few emails back from the speakers saying, oh, thank you, that's really nice what you said about me. And if you've you know, been saying nice things about people, they're much more likely to share that content for you. So my last tip is to, while I say don't expect your speakers to promote your event for you, I actually think you can get the delegates to promote your event for you. But if you want them to do that, you have to help them. You can't just expect that people are going to book up for your event and then they're going to send loads of tweets or make loads of Facebook posts about the fact they're going. You have to provide some content to help them with that. And the thing I often say about events, and anything actually, is that you have to keep marketing to people long after they've bought their ticket. So I think One of the things that delegates at my events really appreciate is, for example, we've created blog posts on how to prepare for the event. So in the run-up to a live event like Media Influence and Live, you'll probably get loads of emails from people saying, is there anything I need to prepare? What do I need to bring? Can I bring my laptop? Will I be able to plug my phone in? So we've actually created content like that. Even down to our joining instructions, we've got photographs of which exit to come out of on the tube, because my event is near Old Street tube station. It's a bit of a confusing tube station. And so we've actually got pictures of which photographs, which exit to come out of. And one delegate in particular last year on her follow-up blog post, she said that that was really kind of what resold the event, but that those kind of little details, that care. So I hope you found those tips useful. As ever, I do love hearing from you. So drop me a line on janet@janetmurray.co.uk, or you can tweet me @jan_murray, or you can find me over at Instagram @janmurrayuk. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're listening right now. And also don't forget about my podcast guide. So this lists all of my podcast episodes to date. They're categorized by theme. So whatever challenge you're facing in your business, then you should be able to find a podcast episode, or in fact, several, to help you solve your problem. And you can get that at janetmurray.co.uk/podcast guide. So that's janetmurray.co.uk/podcast guide.